flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The midweek edition of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. Great to have you on a Wednesday. Sexy Sports with Rob Brown and the Great Milonzo starts right now. What do you mean, nope? I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty good. Really good on a Wednesday, dudes and dudettes. Lots to get to, lots to talk about, lots to jump in on this AM.
You know what the problem is with your voice? The same problem with everyone's voice right now. It's early spring.
Early spring in Greenville. Why is January taking 7 months yet also flew by? I don't understand it.
Dude, it's going to be over 60 today.
Yeah, I know. And
you're wearing like flannel. What are you doing?
I got a text yesterday from a buddy of mine that was like, do you want to go golf tomorrow? It's like, have you lost your gosh dang mind, son? It's cold, bro. Texting him back. I'm like, I appreciate the invite. Not going to be able to make it. And he goes, if it's because it's cold outside, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be like almost 70. I was like, shut up. Got up, got ready this morning. Completely forgot it was going to be apparently pretty nice day.
It's going to be, I believe, according to the weather app and according to the weather that we actually play here on the station,
yep,
like in the 60s, maybe all week or the rest of the week.
Subscribe, by the way. Subscribe. Here
if,
for it.
If it stays this way into summer. I mean, if we get 40 at night and 60s during the day, I'm okay with it. As long as we just go all the way through February, through March, and then jump right to summer like we normally do in South Carolina, I'm good with that. I want to go back to like the 30s suddenly. That's why everyone around here has that voice.
Because we have our fake winter. We have our fake spring. We get fainted. We get deked into thinking the temperature has finally changed.
Aren't we right around rodent time? I believe.
Right around what?
Rodent time.
Rodent time.
Groundhog Day.
Oh, I was like, I know you live in a compound, but like, so like a thing that has like a,
no, I have
like
a cat
festival
now.
Or rats?
I have a cat now. There's no longer rodent time. No, it's a, isn't a groundhog a rodent? I do believe that's what Bill Murray's called them in Caddyshack.
A varmint? I got nothing. I do see that Perea Lewis of WYFF is saying that this afternoon, sunny, warm, and t-shirt weather across the upstate. Don't hate that at all. Here for it. Subscribe. I'd love to go home and just put on a t-shirt and enjoy, you know? We got a lot of sports to get to.
By the way, Groundhog Day, Sunday, February 2nd.
Yes, it is.
Which would be this Sunday.
That would be this Sunday.
Yeah. So get up Sunday and celebrate rodents.
Did anybody still... like get into that? Groundhog Day is just an excuse for me to pop a Bill Murray movie on TV.
All the people in Pakistani, They're all into it. Yeah. And there's a place around here that does it too. I think in Atlanta, maybe.
There's a lot of places that do it. My question is, how many, like, do people still roll with that? Like, yeah, man, Groundhog Day. Can't wait. Big day for everybody. Has anybody ever...
Hey, Ethel, did he see you shatter?
And I got nothing. That's not true. I do have something. 4 hours of electrifying sports talk entertainment starting right now. Great to have you. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. Introduction's done. Let's move on.
I do want to point out that I enjoyed the video that you put out just because there's just a whole lot of me with my hand on my chin going,
"Are you kidding
me?" You
looked mildly uncomfortable. I liked it so much. For those of you that didn't catch the opening of the show yesterday, we did an accidental rendition of Sexy Sports with Rob Brown. And then, because I'm me, decided, yeah, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something dumb with that. So I play that for two reasons. Number one, hey guys, I'm a true millennial now. All right. Number two, that took me like an hour and a half to edit down.
I want to point something out. In that clip, you proved my point. You could hear when the bass in your voice kicked in. You left that part in there, and you could hear suddenly you went into what Steven has talked about on stream. You went into Sex Panther. Sex Panther showed up. You could hear the bass to suddenly get in there.
I'm just going to call myself the Sex Panther now.
You did. For a long time, you've already forgot your memory.
I think everyone's like, this is what I'm going to come out. I think I'm going to introduce ourselves back to the show as, ladies and gentlemen, you're going first now.
You did so like
that I can
three
say,
days.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rob Brown Show with the great Milonzo and me, the Sex Panther, Rob Brown.
Yeah, like 3 days ago, or three days straight, like a year ago, you just decided you were Sex Panther.
No, let's bring it back. I don't, but Lonzo, let's be real. You've worked with me long enough. I barely remember Monday. So
I gotta admit, I forgot till Steven reminded me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just.
Don't act like you're better than me.
It is Wednesday.
What are we gonna talk about today? Like, this is a weird spot in the sports talk calendar because on one hand, we do have the biggest football game of the year coming up,
but you're just,
next Sunday.
You're just proving that you've already lost interest. I mean, you know, it's so long to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, how could anyone? Not lose interest. You've already. What do you want to talk about? You've already lost interest.
You took Cody Decker's take personally.
All right.
Personally,
it's not a good take, man.
I agree with that.
It's not because of the Super Bowl being taken 2 weeks to get to.
I didn't like the take.
It's just saying, hey, I'm not a college guy, or saying, hey, my team's not in it, so I don't care.
I didn't like the take, but like it stuck with you personally.
Well, I'm just hopefully people around him are doing the same thing to him because they should.
So, this is a weird spot in the sports calendar, not because the Super Bowl is now, what are we, 11 days away, and I feel like I'm at risk of losing interest or anything. I'm not. Like, you could play the Super Bowl. I will agree with one thing that Deck and Beatle said that started that conversation, which is you could play the Super Bowl in July, and I'm going to show up and watch it, no questions asked. It's an interesting spot in the calendar, because I have two options, which is, one, we can, like, to some degree, back burner it a little bit and talk about everything else. And there's plenty more to talk about. We've got college basketball going on, some big time games last night. South Carolina falls to 0-8. I'm convinced this team isn't going to win an SEC game this year, a year after everybody was super pumped, and rightfully so, about what Lamont Paris was doing in Columbia. They may not win a conference game this year. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, because this is going to be, and I promise you, later on today, somewhere on the internet, I am going to find a tweet, a post, a thread, or whatever about how Rob Brown is a Gamecock apologist for this take. I am concerned about it, because there is one reason that the Gamecocks are in this spot on the basketball floor. And it is a reason that is going to have to be proven by Lamont Paris next year that this was a one-off mistake and not a big-time problem. And we'll circle back around to that later in the show. Clemson, you know, we had John Blau on Monday. I've talked some college basketball. I was on last night with Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath. And we were off the air setting up for that interview. And I asked Bradley about a couple of ACC squads. We talked a little bit about Louisville. That's now a 16-win team. And I asked him about Clemson. I'm like, do you believe that Clemson is a noisemaker? Not necessarily like a Final Four threat this year, but do you think they could have some say in who is? Do you think they can maybe step into the Cinderella role? But I was like, yeah, I do. Like, it's an interesting team. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We got college basketball. We got hockey to get into. We can get into a little hockey here on the show as the NHL starting to heat up. Carolina Hurricanes, another win last night. Good news. They have separated themselves a little bit from the pack in terms of the Metropolitan Division. They are now not just in second in the division, but they are in a clear second. They have opened up a little bit of space between them and the Jersey Devils. And I do want to talk about that. They are still quite a bit away from the from Washington, from the Caps, for the tops in that division. And frankly, I don't think they're going to catch them. We can circle back to that. Point is, there's a lot going on in the world of sports right now. But because we haven't played the Super Bowl yet, we haven't really downshifted out of that football mentality. And my question is, do you guys get on board with 2 weeks of Super Bowl talk? I mean, I can. We can absolutely do it. I promise you I got enough in the tank. We could hit different topics every day and carry for 2 weeks on the Super Bowl alone. At the same time, it's 11 days away. I don't believe that. I heard a host say yesterday that they kind of hated this week in the role of sports talk host. They said, you know, because I'm going to burn through all my Super Bowl stuff. And I was like, you should. There's too much Super Bowl. There's so many narratives, so many storylines, so many different X's and O's if you want to break it down, so many human elements if you want to talk about the human interest side. There's no way to burn through all the Super Bowl stuff in 2 weeks. My question is, as it is with everything we do here on the show, doesn't mean I don't ignore my own thoughts sometimes, but as it is with everything we bring up on the show, my question is always about audience burnout first, right? Like, do you guys want 2 hours of or 2 weeks of Super Bowl talk? Or would you rather us spend like the rest of this week dialed in on everything else and circle back to the Super Bowl next week once we're within a week? Is this the biggest game of the year? It is the most watched event in television history every single year. Do we stick on this for a week and a half? And it doesn't just have to be the Super Bowl, right? Like, it can be all of the other things that come along with that.
I know. Let's break down all the 30 other teams who weren't good enough to make it to the Super Bowl and why they didn't make it.
Well, I mean,
team by team.
I think there is value in starting the off-season conversation for everybody else. It's already started. We've obviously got, as we talked a little bit about yesterday, and we'll get back into today, we had a handful of new head coaches that were introduced around the National Football League yesterday.
This is too long. I'm not joking about that. And the other problem with waiting this long is there are some people who stay focused on football and switch to basketball when football is over. So you don't want to jump to basketball yet because football is not over until after the Super Bowl. And you got to wait, and you got to wait, and you got to wait for it. Just go ahead and play it the following week. Then football season is over. You can jump to something else and really get in depth with something else.
See, I'm good with the two-week break, and I'm good with the two-week break for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a good spot to put the Pro Bowl, all right? It's just a naturally good spot to put the Pro Bowl. You can't put the Pro Bowl, unlike other sports, you can't play the All-Star season, the All-Star game in the middle of the NFL season.
Well, they used to play it after the Super Bowl.
They did.
The switch has only been, what, 5 years or something?
No, I think it's been a little bit longer than that. I think the switch to flag football and the, you know, not the skills competition, that's been going on for a while, but the format of non-contact football has been in play for a while. But again, I think that makes sense because realistically speaking, and this is more from the television side of it. And again, as much as we as fans say, oh, you know, we want this and we want that, at the end of the day, every decision that gets made about what the NFL does, really any league, college football included, every decision that gets made about what a league is going to do is made based on what is going to happen to the fans, to the viewership.
According to the internet, it didn't switch till 23.
Playing it between the conference champion? No, that's not right. That's not right, is it?
No, I'm sorry. It's 2010.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been way longer
than that. 23 was when they switched to the
flag football.
Yeah, but still, 2010. So up until that point, that's a long time.
And I would
that
also,
it was before the Super Bowl. I mean, after the Super Bowl.
I agree, but I was all, and obviously I was also young and very dumb back then, but I also think that nobody really cared. They cared in that back then. It was also a football game, right? The boys were putting on pads.
Well,
and granted, it wasn't like wholesale full contact all the time, but people watched
back
it because
in my
it was
day,
football.
Back in my day, back in the 80s and 90s, the Pro Bowl, some of them fellas got in there and they hit, and it was an honor. It was an honor to go. People went passing on it and all that kind of stuff. If you weren't there, it's because you were injured. And I liked it better back then. This is when I'm usually not, it was better back then, but the Pro Bowl was better back then.
I mean, again,
and All-Star games in general, except for maybe baseball, have went to exhibition when they used to kind of mean something. There was some pride in it for the players who went to them.
There was, but also athletes weren't making the kind of money they're making today.
I don't know if money has anything to do with it.
But how does it not?
Yeah.
You're going out there to play an all-star game and end up getting smoked
so
by...
So you're saying the starting quarterbacks in the Pro Bowl in 1989 were not rich?
Correct.
They were rich.
Correct.
Oh, they absolutely were rich.
They may have been rich, but I also think that compared to... If you were to take the... Let's put it this way. All of us are out of the last presidential election was defined by what? The economy. We're all saying, hey, wages are stagnant while inflation is it's actually not growing, but that's a whole different conversation we're not ready for. They're saying wages are stagnant, but the price of everything is getting higher, right? For sure. Compare that to NFL player salaries. That ain't slowing down, is it? Those guys are getting paid more and more every year. We're getting a new highest contract ever, every single year. The amount of money these guys are getting on the table, yeah, I wouldn't play an all-star game either, right? Like, absolutely not. So the point here, and we can kind of continue this discussion as the show rolls on, is I don't care that guys decide not to play or to play. The flag football game would obviously be a lot more interesting to me if I didn't have Drake May filling in as a substitute. Like, the quarterback of a two-win football team, that's our all-star? But it kind of is what it is. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll pick this up on the other side. Not where I thought we were going, but who the hell cares? It's Wednesday. It's not Super Bowl week. We got stuff to do. The Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hilarious that you played that because I actually have a Jim Harbaugh / SpongeBob SquarePants clip for later.
I just want to say I nailed it right on the beat, too. I mean, it was smooth.
Well, you're not executive producer for nothing, you know? He's not the best color guy in the business for no reason, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Malonzo and yo! Be a part of the show. 844-326-3663 is the number to call the show. 844-326-3663 is the number to text the show. Kane said, hey, Rod, It's Kane. It's okay if you sound like a Gamecock apologist. It's absolutely unacceptable for someone that is a self-proclaimed Clemson fan to get behind the microphone and sound like a Gamecock apologist. Have a great day. Saints suck. No need, Kane. No need for that at the end. No need mainly because I already know. I
wonder who he was talking about.
I already know. So we were talking a little bit about the Pro Bowl coming up. We got the skills competition tomorrow night. And I'll tell you this. I love the skills competition.
Yeah, me too.
I really do wish.
I mean, the flag football, I'm okay with. I mean, it looks like those guys are having a blast. But I like the skills stuff, and I like all seeing them do extra stuff. I like that. The football, that's what they do.
You can count me into the people who enjoy the flag football game. Okay, you can count me in.
Again, I didn't say it in
hate. No, I wasn't talking about you.
Yeah,
I'm just saying in general. You can count me in.
To me, it's not the attraction of the weekend. It's all the other stuff.
You can count me into the people who enjoy the flag football game because number one, and I know that this is you can think whatever you think about this. I don't really care. I like being tuned into the side of sports that like. Let's the fellas be the fellas and goof off and have some fun. And you do that, right? Like we see some goofy stuff. You see the boys laughing, having a good time. And there's something about that to me. I've worked with and around professional athletes for a very, very long time. The athletes that I appreciate the most, that I root for the hardest, are the ones that I've had the opportunity to like see their personality, and they have a great personality. Lonzo and I, we interview wrestlers every time one of the major companies come to town. And we will root for even the baddest bad guys if they've come on the show and been awesome, right? Like, that's just how it goes.
Which is just about all of them that have come on.
A solid chunk.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I like the flag football game. Am I, like, prioritizing it? If there's a college basketball game on at the same time and it's, like, number one versus number two, am I prioritizing over that? No, not really. I'm still a sports guy at heart. But it kind of is what it is. I enjoy it. I enjoy the skills competition. Quite a bit. There's just something entertaining and enjoyable. And on top of that, I think we watch so much football during the course of a season that I think sometimes we kind of lose a little bit, or maybe it's just me, but we kind of lose a little bit what it is that we're watching. Because when you have some of the most freak athletes on planet Earth doing a thing, but they're doing it against other freak athletes, then it just kind of looks normal, right? Like every now and then you have a Saquon 57-yarder for a tutty where he backwards hurdles a guy, and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. These guys are not normal. Got it now. But when it's good competition and you got freak athletes on both sides, they can kind of make themselves look like everybody's on the same page. And reality is, they're just not. So to see the flag football contest, where they're kind of doing something out of their element, but they can still let that raw athleticism show off, there's something that is interesting, entertaining about that for me. But the question mark that we got to, that got us here, the question mark that got us here was, would we rather kind of hold off on Super Bowl talk till next year? I got on BetMGM tonight, and we kind of jumped into Super Bowl talk a little bit, right? They said they basically asked me my early bets, and you don't care about this unless you're a gambler, but betting the Super Bowl is real interesting because it is the most gambled on event by people who only gamble on an event or two per year, right? Like, it's the most gambled on event by people who won't place any other bets throughout the year. People will log in and they will put down Super Bowl bets and then they won't bet again until like maybe March Madness, but realistically more than most, the next Super Bowl. And so when that happens, it makes it a really interesting time to be a big time gambler. It makes it a really interesting time to be me and Cole Bryson, who like do this seriously and enjoy it. And it's part of our, you know, part of our favorite thing to do.
Wow, that was kind of mean.
No, I mean, listen, I mean like people who drive out of the state to go place wagers, right? I drive to Asheville sometimes on a weekend. I'll drive up. It's like 45 minutes from the house. I will drive up there. Not even all the way to Asheville. I would drive across the North Carolina border to sit there and lock in some bets. I know Cole does the same thing. That's not a shot at anybody. That's just Cole and I I host a nationally syndicated gambling show, right? Like, I'm big into it. And so it makes it really interesting. And I'm not talking about like picking over unders. I'm talking about putting money on lines and totals and spreads and yada, yada, yada. Because people who don't gamble very often will gamble on this game. And they will move the line one way or another in ways that don't happen in the regular season. The total opened in this game at 49.5 points. I said last night on BetMGM Tonight, I'm like, look, if you like the over, bet it right now. Because when casuals start getting in, and I don't say that with any sense of, you know, derogatory connotation, but when the casuals get involved...
You're right, MJF. No reason to think that you meant that derogatory.
No, listen, if you gamble one or two bets a year and you do it during the Super Bowl, fine. Like, good. If that's your thing to do, I'm not judging. That's fine. Whatever. What I'm saying is so many people do that a line that opens at 49.5 and is getting, you know, gets half the play on the over, half on the under from people like me, that line's not going to move all that much. But when casuals play, what are they betting? They're betting the over. Why? Nobody wants to bet to watch the Super Bowl to not see touchdowns scored, right? Like, if I'm going to bet the under, I'm rooting for defenses. That's boring at a Super Bowl party. So a bunch of people bet the over. Well, if a bunch of people that ordinarily don't bet all of a sudden start throwing hammers at the over 49.5, eventually that line might go to 50.5. It might go to 51.5. And if I'm playing the over, I want to get it at that 49. But if I want to play the under, if I'm going, hey, listen, Philly's defense is good. Kansas City's defense is good. Yes, Saquon could pop one, but the Eagles are going to run it 34, 35 times in this game. It's going to bog the score down. Then I want to wait till the minute of kickoff, because if the casuals push that line up instead of maybe the half a point or a full point that the Sharks would, if the casuals all jump in and they skyrocket that thing to 51.5, I want to wait till it goes as high as it will to bet the under. It's just an interesting aspect to this.
Who's favored right now?
The Kansas City Chiefs are by 1.5 points.
So if I were a Kansas City Chiefs fan and I wanted to bet on my team, how would I make money?
My suggestion to you right now would be to wait. And the reason I say it would be to wait is this. Again, the casuals. You can kind of read where the casuals' money are going to go based on the narrative.
So let's say all the Swifties decided to bet on Kansas City to win.
Realistically, the Swifties aren't the ones that are betting.
No, I'm saying if they were.
Well, because, if they would, then they would push.
That's a lot of people. I'm talking about a mass of people.
I'm gonna.
How would that push the line?
I'm going to lay that out. Here's how the narrative plays. You got to start with, do you think more money's coming in? Do you think down the line more money's going to come in Philly and Kansas City? Where do you think the national bets are going to go? For me, it's the Eagles. I think the national feel right now is, justified or not, it is Chiefs fatigue. All right? That's just what it is. It is Chiefs fatigue, and we can blame it on officiating, or we can blame it on just the fact that, you know, everybody loves the underdog until the underdog wins, and then they hate the winner.
So these are people who just go out and bet because they hate another team?
No. Stick with me here. I am talking about people who bet because it makes watching a game more fun. They learn a lesson about gambling, which is, if as long as you're not losing your ass, gambling on sports makes it more fun. To me, it makes it more entertaining. I do it all the time. If you're good at it, make a little side change, make a little beer money. I bet beer money. I don't bet hundreds of dollars. I bet beer money, right? Like, I'm the smallest fish on the BetQL network. But if I'm, so I'll give you the perfect example.
If you drink a lot of beer money might be a lot of money.
Beer money could be a lot of money. I will give you the perfect example, which is my wife. My wife's not a gambler. She doesn't care, right? Like, she listens to me talk about it, but she doesn't care. However, last year on the Super Bowl, when we were talking about this, last year on the way to the Super Bowl party, she's like, hey, can I make a bet? I was like, yeah, sure, we can do that. Now, she does. She likes the over-under. She doesn't like totals and point spreads and all that. She likes over-unders. And so what did she want to do? She wanted to log a bunch of Travis Kelce bets. Over receptions, over yards. She's like, explain to me what I'm looking at here. She's very casual. Where's the thing? If there's, you know, 5,000 my wives who don't bet, but she goes, well, we're going to go to this Super Bowl party, and I know you're going to be having bets, and you're blah, blah, blah. I want to do it, too. And let's say there's 10,000 wives and girlfriends, 10,000 wags around the country that bet on Travis Kelce to go over his yardage prop. And his yardage prop right now, and this is true, is set at 69 nice and a half, right? If 10,000 Swifties go, Taylor's going to be there. He's going to be all over this. And they all bet the 69 and a half over. Well, guess what? Even if that money is money that's not ordinarily bet, and even if 69 and a half is a good number, Vegas is going to go, even if it's a one-time scenario, there's a liability here. So we're going to bump that up to 71 and a half. 72 and a half. And all of a sudden, if you were looking at a Kelce over, even though you probably had a good read and you think 70's in play, my wife bumped it up to 72 and a half by being this the one bet she makes. Well, that's true about every number on the board. And so if the narrative is true and that there's Chiefs fatigue and that America's on the side of the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, a ton of people might start betting the Eagles. But they're going to do that closer to the Super Bowl parties, right? They're not going to do it the Wednesday before. They're going to do it next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so we get closer to the party. So if I'm looking, say, and thinking, like, genuinely, I think the Eagles win this game, then you better grab it now, because if you believe, as I do, that America's going to log a bunch of casual bets for the Eagles, they're going to drive that value down for you next week. They're going to change that value up, and you're going to get less value for betting the Eagles to win the game. So I'm grabbing it now. But if I'm a Chiefs fan and they're a 1.5-point favorite, meaning they've got to win by two or more to cover, I might wait on that. And I might wait for America to lodge all of its pro-Eagles, we're tired of the Chiefs bets. Because if they lodge all those bets, what happens? That 1.5, maybe it goes down to Chiefs by 0.5. Now I just got to win the game. It may come down to, hell, Chiefs plus 0.5. Now they can lose by one or whatever the line ultimately might end up being. It might benefit me a little bit. So the point of all of that, actually, aside from helping you win some money, because that's what I do if you're a gambler. The point of all of that is, do we talk about all of that now? Do we get into all of that? Now, I think that conversation, if you're a gambler, is kind of interesting, because obviously my strategy on how to play bets is I've already got a lot of my Super Bowl bets down, because there's a lot that I like that I think the public influence is away from me, so I'm going to get it now. But aside from gambling, like as far as the X's and O's, is it worth it for me right now to take some time on the show to diagnose what I think Saquon Barkley's run game looks like against Chris Jones and the Chiefs defensive line versus an underwhelming Washington defensive line, but a better linebacker core?
Which is bet on more, prop bets or the actual game?
My bet would be prop bets, because prop bets, well, I know that's prop bets because you have DraftKings and Prize Picks and all these others that all you're allowed to do in South Carolina for sure, because all you're legally allowed to bet on if you are in the state borders is props, right? Over-unders. You can't bet on the game here unless you drive up the road to North Carolina. So do we talk about all this now, or do we pay attention to NHL, pay attention to college basketball, start talking NASCAR, the Daytona 500's in 2 weeks? Do we start talking about all of these things, or 3 weeks? Do we start talking about all of these things, or do we stick on the Super Bowl for a week and a half? I don't really know how to handle it, to be honest with you. I've only done it 17 years. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I saw this question asked yesterday. I liked it. This is what I call peak off-season radio. Okay, you'll hear me. And for the record, when I say peak off-season radio, we all do it. Okay, you get to the point, and this is ordinarily stuff that's taking place more June, July, right? NBA season's over, NHL's off. Basically, there's a point on the calendar where all we have is NASCAR and golf. And as a NASCAR and golf guy, awesome! Big fan. But I also know that most of you aren't NASCAR and golf guys.
Is that like the brief window before baseball starts?
And you do have baseball. Yeah, I probably should have mentioned that other sport that I also get paid to talk about professionally.
Sorry, I just thought baseball was almost all the way year round.
So. Not quite, but close enough. We are only a couple of months away from opening day, and I'm pretty pumped about that. Braves got a big sign in Jurickson Profar over from the Padres the other day. That outfield, when Ronnie Acuna comes back, if Jared Kelenic can get his act together, could be pretty good.
Should we secretly, when Rob's out of the room, predict when the panic starts?
See, I don't know. I mean, I can technically
narrow it down to a date. On this date?
No, I can tell you right now, I'm having an off-season panic already. I'm having an off-season panic already because Charlie Morton went up to Baltimore. I don't know who our five guy in the rotation is. I'm not entirely sure. I know who our four guy in the rotation is now. And with what the Dodgers are doing and deferring, and this is not an exaggeration, $1 billion in the Dodgers have $1 billion in deferred money on the books right now. $1 billion that they just don't have to pay until a few years down the road. It's pretty infuriating. They're not breaking any rules. They're allowed to do it. Every team's allowed to do it. Just nobody else wants to. If you want to compete this year in the National League, you better go find yourself another rotation guy, and you better go find yourself another relief pitcher. And right now, the Braves just aren't making moves. Granted, Alex Anthopoulos is absolutely a guy that'll make moves into spring training, which we're just a couple of weeks away from. But like, I feel like the last couple of weeks have kind of been like poking the Braves with a stick. Like, do something. Please, do something. I'm begging you here. I'm watching the Dodgers stack a billy on deferred money and picking up literally global free agents over here. And then I'm looking at the Braves. They got the Profar signing, which is great, and have done nothing else. They got guys leaving. We know we got guys like Spencer Strider who aren't going to be available till April. You're going to need to fill that spot. Are we going back to Ian Anderson, who after his arm injury just never has been the same guy? I feel like I'm poking the Braves with a stick. Do something. I'm begging you right now. And they're just not. That's not to say they won't. Again, you all know how Alex Anthopoulos works. Alex Anthopoulos takes his time. He gets to it when he's ready to get to it. It's hard for me to say that we should be criticizing the guy after what he's done in Atlanta the last couple of years. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm watching the Dodgers get better. I'm watching the Mets get better. I don't know if I'm watching the Phillies get better, but I'm not watching them get worse. And the Braves are just kind of like hanging out right now. And I could argue it's maybe a little panicky right now for Atlanta fans, but we'll put that aside. It's not quite baseball time yet. Here's what I did want to get to. And this might be a conversation that we have throughout the course of the show today. If the Chiefs win, great one. Where, oh, where would you stack them in the list of NFL dynasties over the years? Where would you stack them? I went and looked yesterday and just kind of like tried to pick teams and eras that are widely considered to be dynasties based on looking at a handful of different sites that power rank dynasties. Here is the order, rough order, and it's obviously very subjective, but the rough order that cumulatively we seem to have our dynasty stacked right now. I don't have an argument with the Patriots. It's a 17-year dynasty from 2001 to 2018. They won a fistful of rings. They had the guy that is today considered the GOAT, although have you heard the stat that Mahomes reached 5 Super Bowls 5 years before Brady got to his 5th Super Bowl in terms of age? Everybody's like, oh, can Mahomes catch Brady? He is well ahead of pace to catch Brady.
By the way, everything Mahomes is doing right now and the some of the other Chiefs on that team have never been done before. So, I mean,
He is, for those who
as far
have said,
as how quickly they've reached and like how many AFC championships they've won or games they've played in. And I mean, barring an offsides in one game and a coin flip on another, they could have went to every Super Bowl hit his entire starting time.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So I say right now today, 2001 to 2018 New England Patriots. I would say the 72 to 79 Steelers are at the top of that list. I would say that the late 60s Packers, well, I should say 60s Packers because it was like 60 to 67 during the Lombardi era is up there. I would say that the 81 to like mid 90s 49ers, that those Jerry Rice Niners are on this dynasty list. I would say the Cowboys of the early 90s, because they had a dynasty, but it was like a four-year run, right, where the Cowboys were great. Had like a four-year run until 95 when Jerry sent J.J. packing, and it's been all downhill ever since. But that 4 years was about as good of a 4 years as you've ever seen. I would say I saw the Raiders pop up a bunch of times. Now, this was before my time, great one. You may or may not have something to say about this. I don't know. But I saw a couple of places yesterday list the Raiders, but it was interesting because they said Raiders from like the mid-60s to the mid-80s. Were they a dynasty that entire run?
See, I don't think so. But I didn't really get into football till Montana and the 49ers.
Yeah,
so,
like...
And I loved Marcus Allen when he was at the Raiders, but they screwed him over, and he's also one of the reasons why I'm a Chiefs fan, when he went to the Chiefs. So before that, it was sporadic for me because football didn't exist in our house. So I'm not the person to ask.
See, I think you gotta have some trophies to be considered.
I think so too.
Dynasty.
I mean, because if just making it somewhere is a dynasty, then Buffalo is a dynasty because they went there 4 years.
The Raiders were Buffalo before Buffalo was Buffalo. They went to Super Bowl II and they lost it. Then they went to six consecutive conference title games, and they lost all of them.
Yeah, that does
six in a row.
I think to be a dynasty, you got to win.
Yeah,
I do believe, and I think you got to win it all.
They put the 1970s Dallas Cowboys showed up a bunch of times. The late 80s Washington Commanders, Washington football team, whatever you want to call them, they showed up on this list. Obviously, the early 70s Dolphins showed up on this list. So if we're power ranking dynasties, if the Chiefs get the three-peat, it'd be number four in this run for Kansas City. Where would we put the Kansas City Chiefs on this list of dynasties? Because I got to tell you, I'm kind of having a hard time saying they are not number two behind an 17, 18 year run of the Patriots with plenty of gas in the tank to catch that squad.
Yeah, I would go with two, and also with also the distinction of doing something that none of those other teams were able to do. And that would be winning three in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that means something, or they wouldn't be making... Well, it means something, winning three in a row.
I mean, doing something that no other team has done in and of itself is obviously something special. Doing a three-peat, having a one-year gap from the one before that, winning, what's that, four? That'd be four out of five? I mean, that... Whenever we do these dynasty conversations, you know, I'm big on defining words, setting expectations and defining words. Every time we have one of these conversations about dynasties, I ask the question, and I think it is fair to do so, what is a dynasty? How do we define dynasty? And I've made the joke over and over again that I define dynasty the way that Tipper Gore defined porn in front of Congress. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it, right? I know it when I see it. And that, you know, there are spots. One man's art is another man's pornography. I have been to museums, and I have seen statues and paintings of nude people. Sometimes paintings and statues of people nude in the act of doing everybody's favorite thing to do when you're nude. And yet, I don't look at that and say, that's porn. I look at that and I go, that's art. That is the expression of emotion about a particular act that most of us get to participate in, and some of us even get to enjoy every now and then. That's art. But I also know people that I would say are prudes that look and go, that's unacceptable. We shouldn't have that out, right? What is a dynasty?
This art studio, like in the back of a convenience store?
It was in France.
Okay.
It was in France.
Right, just curious.
Yeah, very different feelings over there. I don't know that I can put a description, a definition on what is a dynasty other than to say they win a bunch. Is there a mark on that? No. I think I would say you probably have to have at least two Super Bowls, right? I don't think winning one Super Bowl makes you a dynasty. I think you got to have a couple. I think that they have got to be all within one run. That's not to say of players. I mean, like, within one quantifiable period of time that we would then look back and say, we define this era by that team. What that quantity of time is, I don't know. Again, I would say the Patriots dynasty lasted damn 17 years under Hoodie and Brady. We could not escape the Pats for 17 years. Doesn't mean they won every Super Bowl. Doesn't even matter. I mean, they won the majority of Super Bowls. But they won a hell of a lot more than everybody else. Dynasty. The 1970 Steelers won some Super Bowls. But also, they are known. I think you also have to be known for something. Not just winning Super Bowls, although that's part of it. We know what the New England Patriots are. When I say 72 Steelers, those of you that are longtime football fans, there are thoughts that pop into your head about the James Francos and the Terry Bradshaws, about the Lambeers, about these big, physical, bruising Steelers from back in the day. That was an NFL defining period of time back in the day. So I would ask the question, is there something about this Kansas City Chiefs team that we can look at now and say this defined that team? Is there a trait of this team? Is there something about this team that we are going to look at and go, that is different than everybody else? And the answer, first and foremost, is yes, Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick Mahomes. You might hate him. You might think he's getting all the calls. You might think this. At the end of the day, he's Patrick Mahomes. By being Patrick Mahomes, he gets all those things in his favor. Or you don't believe he's getting those things in his favor, and it's just that damn good. Whatever way you take it, he's Patrick Mahomes. And Andy Reid, who I think right now does a better job than anybody in the NFL. And that's not to say there aren't other guys who do it, but a better job than anybody else in the NFL at understanding the talent that's on his team and running his team to maximize that talent. Instead of saying, you guys are going to play my system, he says, my system's going to play you guys.
And by the way, I believe Patrick Mahomes is very important, but I think it's a team thing. Whenever you have less of something, like say they have less receivers, another position group steps up, or the defense steps up. It's been different every year about who's been the focal point. It hasn't been When it was Tyreek, oh, it's all Tyreek. The next year, who was it the next year when they won the Super Bowl? Who was the focus? You could say Kelce, but he spreads the ball around to everybody. And so, and when this year, the defense carried him more than anything. I think it's more of a team effort. I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he does a great job. And would they have won the Super Bowls without him? Probably not, but I still think that it's more of team than it is just one individual player.
I think the Kansas City Chiefs are an excellent team that do a great job of building a good roster. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's a great roster. It's a great team. And they would not be there. Mahomes couldn't do it by himself. But if I was to take Derek Carr and plug him in Kansas City, you ain't winning you might win the Super Bowl. You ain't winning 4 out of 5. You ain't winning 3 in a row, for sure. Nowhere close. You might have got 1, but that's about it. Great team. Not arguing. They're defined by Patrick Mahomes. All right, we'll talk more Super Bowl later on in the show. Got to get some baseball, college basketball, and more. We're getting into anything and everything here on the Rob Brown Show. Before we get into any of that, you are going to get into this Sports Flash with Lonzo.
Okay, let's get into it then. The South Carolina Gamecocks fell to 0-8 in SEC play with a 71-60 loss on the road at Georgia last night. Gamecocks shot 41% from the floor. but were just 4 of 17 from 3 and turned the ball over 17 times. The only players who reached double digits were Colin Murray-Boyles with 18 and Jamari Thomas with 19. The rest of the team scored 23 combined. There's only one NFL team remaining without a coach, but they'll have one less option to fill that position. Former Dallas Cowboy coach Mike McCarthy indicated yesterday he will not he will sit out the 2025 season, canceling a meeting with the New Orleans Saints scheduled for later this week. McCarthy is expected to return to the sidelines in 2026. I don't think he's completely out of it. Tune in today at 5:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Sanford Bulldogs right here on The Fan.